Active run, it's 9:01. The only person we're missing is John Saunders, if you want to go ahead and start. Is that good, or?
That's good, I just
okay. Give me a second, and I'll get it recording. And we'll make sure that court reporter.
We're here for you. Take your time.
Just let me know when you're set.
Trouble.
Good morning, everybody on there. This is a reminder that this is being recorded. This is the second day of the CCAC. I'm going to hand it off to Dr. Brown for opening.
I got it,
John. Good morning.
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 I call back to order this meeting of the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee for Wednesday, March 1, 2023. The time is 9:01. This is the second and the final day of this two-day public meeting that began yesterday. I would like to remind the public that this is a listening only and to mute your microphones, as well as any members of the CCAC that are participating remotely. Before we begin, I want to reintroduce members of the committee. Please respond present when I call your name. Arthur Bernstein, representing the general public.
Art Bernstein, present.
Dr. Harcourt Fuller, recommended by the Speaker of the House.
Present.
Sam Gill, representing the general public.
Present.
Dr. Dean Kolowski, specifically qualified in American history.
Present.
Mike Moran, recommended by the Senate Majority Leader.
Present.
Robin Salmon, specifically qualified in medallic arts or sculpture.
Present.
Dennis Tucker, specifically qualified in numismatics.
Present.
Dr. Peter Van Alphen, specifically qualified as the numismatic curator.
Present.
And I am Dr. Lawrence Brown, representing the general public, and happen to have the honor and privilege of serving as chair of the CCAC.
Excuse me, Dr. Brown, this is Jennifer Warren. For those that just added on, just reminder to mute your mic with, just click the microphone so there's a line through it, and then when you want to speak, just click it back on so we don't get feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. I think we have a quorum. The agenda for today's session includes the following: a review and discussion of the reverse candidate designs for the 2024 American Women Quarters program, honoring the following prominent American women: Pauline Murray, Celia Cruz, Patsy Takamoto, Sitka Laza, and Dr. Mary Edwards Walker. Before we resume our proceedings, I ask Ms. Jennifer Warren, who is the liaison to CCAC, if there are members of the press who have signed in remotely.
This is Jennifer Warren. Brandon Hall, senior editor of social media, Whitman Publishing, LLC, and Mike Unser, founder and editor of Coin News Media Group, LLC.
Thank you so much. For the record, I would like to confirm the following Mint staff are attending the session today. Please indicate present after I have called your name. April Stafford, Chief Office of Design Management.
Present.
Megan Sullivan, Senior Design Specialist.
Present.
Roger Vasquez, Senior Design Manager.
Present.
Pam Bora, Design Manager.
Present.
Russell Evans, Design Manager.
Russ just stepped away.
Vanessa Hanchuk.
Present.
Design Manager. Joe Minna.
Present.
Engraver. Michael Costello, Manager of Design and Engraving.
Present.
Jennifer Warren, Director of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs and Liaison to the CCAC.
Present.
Greg Wyman, Senior Legal Counsel and Counsel to the CCAC.
Present.
Brendan Tate, Senior Government Affairs Specialist of the Office of Legislative and Intergovernmental Affairs.
Present.
Mike White, Office of Corporate Communication.
Present.
Have I missed anyone of the staff? Very good. And finally, I just want to note for the record that we'll be joined later on the call by the liaisons for these famous American women. That include, for Pauli Murray, we will be joined by Karen Ross. For Cecilia Cruz, we will be joined by Omar Padillo. For Patsy Takamoto Mink, we'll be joined by her daughter, Gwendolyn Wendy Mink. For Zikala Za, her great-granddaughter, Holly Brown Olga, and her great-great-grandson, Mark Bonin, will be joining us. For Dr. Mary Edwards, Dr. Edwards Walker, excuse me, we'll be joined by her great-great-great-nephew, Thomas Edwards, and George Damas, who is the historian from the town of Oswego, New York. I'd like to begin to ask the Mint, are there any other issues or any issues that need to be clarified? Hearing none, the first item today for our review is the reverse candidate design for the 2024 American Women Quarter honoring Pauli Murray. April Stafford, Chief of the Mint's Office of Design Management, will introduce the program and present the obverse and reverse candidate designs for the 2024 American Quarter honoring Pauli Murray.
Thank you. This is April Stafford. Some background information on Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray. Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray broke barriers as a staunch advocate for the rights of women and people of color who fought tirelessly for civil rights. As a poet, activist, lawyer, and priest, Murray was directly involved in and helped articulate the intellectual foundations of two of the most important social justice movements of the 20th century, specifically women's rights and civil rights. In 1948, Murray wrote a 746-page book, States Laws on Race and Color, which exposed the extent and absurdity of segregation. The ACLU began to distribute copies to law libraries, HBCUs, and human rights organizations. Thurgood Marshall even kept stacks of the book around his NAACP office and referred to Murray's work as, quote, the Bible of the landmark case Brown versus Board of Education. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg argued against gender discrimination in front of the Supreme Court in 1971, plaintiff in Reed versus Reed, she used an article co-written by Murray to argue the Equal Protection Clause applied to women. Murray was so influential in Ginsburg's work that Ginsburg listed her as a co-author on her brief to the Supreme Court. Her spirituality was also integral to her work for civil rights, and in 1977, Murray became the first black woman in the United States to become an Episcopal priest and was sainted by the Episcopal Church in 2012. She fought and advocated tirelessly her entire life and is regarded as one of the most important social justice advocates of the 20th century. Ms. Ross, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate it. Would you like to say a few words to the committee?
Yes. You pretty much gave an overview of everything that I was going to say, so I'm going to just give you a blurb of what was left. I am the great niece of the Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray, the executrix of her will and estate, and the founder of the Pauli Murray Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that gives academic scholarships to financially challenged college students. Reverend Murray lived with my family in Baltimore, Maryland, for 3 years before she moved to Pittsburgh and eventually passed. Reverend Murray was a human rights, human justice warrior. She fought every day of her life for women, minorities, the poor, and the quote unquote unacceptable in our society. Personally, she wanted to be seen, accepted, and valued, and equal. She wanted this for everyone in our country. Reverend Murray knew that she and her work had been undervalued. She never received the recognition for her contributions to the equal rights struggle, and she knew that her lifelong endeavors were important. She saved all of her paperwork, writings, documents, videos, with the hope that of the future progress of the human rights, with the hopes that it would have some impact on the future progress of human rights. Thus, she wrote the book called Song in a Weary Throat. At the end of her life, she found personal acceptance through God and His grace. Through God, she fortified her belief that through God's eyes, all humans were entitled to equal human rights. The Pauli Murray Foundation and her family selected design draft number 2 because we liked the symbolism that represented the important aspects of her life. Also because it was the strongest design that showed who she was and what she believed. We love the slogan, America, be who you proclaim yourself to be. Over the last 35 plus years, the Reverend Murray's family, the Pauli Murray Foundation, and a host of many others have been obsessed with spreading her legacy of accomplishments. All of us thank the Mint and the federal government for this opportunity to educate the world on how amazing she was and exactly what she accomplished. You have cemented her place in history for years to come. I would like to take this opportunity to personally thank the Mint's liaisons who walked our family through this process. You have been extremely, extremely supportive. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. All right, we'll move through the candidate designs. We'll start first by highlighting the preferences that have been identified up to this point. So in that regard, we will show you reverse 2. This is the family liaison's preferred design, as well as the recommendation by the CFA. There is a request to add the cross necklace that you can see in design 2A. I'll point that out when we move through the portfolio, and that is something that was not only recommended by the CFA, but also our family liaison requested as well. All right, starting with the candidate designs, reverse 1 and 1A are portraits of Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray's eyeglass framed face within the shape of the word hope, which is symbolic of Murray's belief that significant societal reforms were possible when rooted in hope. This is a sentiment anchored in her poem, Dark Testament. A line in that poem, hope is a song in a weary throat, featured an additional inscription in reverse 1A, is also the title of her autobiography. Reverses 2 and 2A depicts Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray with her characteristic smile as her hands reverently cradles the scales of justice, a symbol emblematic of her life's work fighting for justice and equal rights. These designs are also a nod to her friendship and collaboration with Eleanor Roosevelt, whose 2023 quarter design similarly features scales. Reverse 2 features the quote, America, be what you proclaim yourself to be. And again, reverse 2 seen here is the preference of our family liaison as well as the recommendation by the CFA, although there is a request to add the cross necklace, which can be seen in design 2A, seen here. And 2A features the inscription, Hope is a song in a weary throat.
It's really late.
Moving on to reverses 3 and 3A. These designs depict Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray in her element, sitting contemplatively at her desk as she prepares to write. Behind her are books and the scales of justice on a bookshelf. Murray is wearing her clerical collar, a cross necklace, and a seahorse pen, a symbol representing how she viewed herself. Reverse 3 features Murray's name in handwritten script. And that concludes the candidate designs, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much. Are there any additional comments or motions from any of the members? My apologies. I think at this point, we're going to then vote.
We're going by comments.
Okay.
Any additional comments from the members at this time?
I had a technical question. This is Art Bernstein. On reverse three, the signature, is that meant to be her actual signature? Is that a facsimile of her signature, or is that just a stylized representation?
The former. It is, in fact, her signature. This is April Stafford. It is her signature.
Thank you.
This is Peter Van Alphen. I've got a question about the seahorse symbolism. Was this a brooch that she actually would wear regularly?
Yes.
And, could you say a little bit more about the symbolism and how this represented how she saw herself?
Sure. I'll ask Vanessa Hanchock, who's the design manager for this program and worked predominantly with our liaison, to speak to that, and perhaps invite Ms. Ross as well, if you like.
Absolutely. I'm Vanessa Hanchock, and please, Ms. Ross, interject if I'm incorrect, but she wore that brooch because it symbolized how she viewed herself, because seahorses, and I'm not a marine biologist, but they're able to change themselves, change their gender in that way. So they were, in a way, genderless, and eloquently speaking.
Ms. Ross, is there anything you care to add on that point?
She was obsessed with seahorses.
Fair enough.
I took my 2-year-old son to the aquarium in Baltimore, and she spent all of her time observing and taking pictures of seahorses. She wore that pen all the time because it reflected the uniqueness of who she was sexually. So I felt to honor the fact that she didn't declare herself as being gay or queer, that maybe that should be a symbol that embraces that part of her life.
Thank you so much.
This is Peter Van Alphen. Joe, I've got a technical question about reverse one. So if I'm reading this right, the letters of hope would be raised off of the field, is that correct? The rest of that would be incus?
Yes. Everything black would be field, essentially.
Right.
And so hope would be raised one level above that, and then the portrait one level above that.
All right.
And, Mr. Chair, this is April Stafford. If I could add, since we're talking about designs 1 and 1A, the Mint was just so thrilled to be able to bring those designs to you, and our chief engraver worked closely with the artist in order to ensure that their vision could be represented in this portfolio. But I think it's important to share that several of our stakeholders, while it certainly caught their eye, they were slightly disquieted by the fact that her face seemed to be partially hidden. So some of our stakeholders at the Smithsonian, as well as the Women's History Museum, remarked as such, and I believe our family liaison felt similarly. So,
are there any further questions or comments from committee?
Yes, this is Dennis Tucker, and this is a question for Joe and Mike. I suspect that we'll be moving towards the liaison's preference of design 2 or 2A, but I'm very curious about 1 and 1A, because this looks like art that we've never seen before. Can you talk a little bit about it? It's to see this face kind of in the background of a cartouche. It's remarkable. Is there anything that you can tell us about this?
I would just say, whenever an artist presents a design, such as this, or say the Hovidi Adar, that's different. My job is just to facilitate their being able to realize that, and Mike's as well, and our whole coinability team and ODM to make it doable. So. It's the art. This is all the artist. There's no guide. The only guidance I gave on this was how to stack the relief, frankly. Full transparency. That's it. This is 100% the artist. I wish I came up with this one.
This is Dennis Tupper again. Do you see this as a, I'm just curious, do you see this as a challenging sculpt, or would this be a walk in the park, or is it different?
Sculpting? No, as a sculpt, no.
Yeah.
Sculpt, the means, as a sculpt, I wouldn't think it's challenging. I went over it very carefully. I did go over it with Mike to make sure we could make it, you know. But if it's, as I've said, no, I don't mean this in any kind of patronizing way. If you see it on the screen, we can make it.
Yes.
You know?
I understand that, yeah.
So, yeah. No, I know, but so... Yeah. Every they all have their... This is Joe Mena, by the way. I apologize. They all have their own unique challenges. Every coin's different. So every coin is a challenge in its own way. That's what I would say.
But if I may, Mr. Tucker, and this is April Stafford, I think what you were remarking on is that this is unusual to see something like this, which is why I note that our chief engraver really worked very closely with the artist in order to ensure that that artist's vision could be seen in a form that could be coinable. There was a time when perhaps simply because of difficulties in executing this, the original would have had to have been set aside, but he really engaged with the artist to bring something forward that could represent that.
At the risk of, this is Joe again, at the risk of editorializing, I think what you may be commenting on is you're starting to see, I know for this particular artist, without naming he, she, they, huge, huge artistic leap forward, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's the best candidate or anything like that, but I think along with other designs, I think you're seeing the program grow as a team.
I recognize Greg. One more comment, and this is in no way commenting on the quality or the appropriateness of any of the family's preferences or otherwise, but it is worth noting that this legislation has a prohibition on busts or head and shoulders portraits. And so it was clever of the artist to create a design that is essentially a portrait, but it doesn't violate the statute because it is part of another fundamental primary device in the coin. So it was a bit of a clever way to get around the prohibition that's in the statute that way. The other depictions all have to be fuller torso or showing an arm or hand or something, so as not to violate the provision of the law that prohibits busts or head and shoulders portraits.
This is Peter Van Alford. Can I just ask why the prohibition works? Is there any reason given?
It's the same prohibition that was in other quarter programs before this. The idea was that to avoid a two-headed coin, essentially.
Right.
And I think at the time that this provision was built into the legislation, it was the legislation in its it evolved from what was essentially a sports quarter program initially, and then evolved into the larger program, and the prohibition on busts or head and shoulders portraits unfortunately stayed in the legislation, even as we were going to have a program that was going to honor individuals, prominent American women. So the Mint has both carefully but also very creatively found ways to honor the honorees and portray their images without violating the statute.
And I would, at the risk of over-talking, which I'm good at, no, I think the mints, and other world mints, but our mint in particular, I always say like the obverse is the main character and the reverse is the supporting cast. When you look at older coins, it's particularly, but in our case, these types of programs, the main show is, I mean, not to denigrate President Washington, but the main show are the reverses. And that, and if you, American Innovators, the same prohibition exists, but there's no portrait on the obverse. So we're kind of ahead of the in my opinion, I'm not a lawyer. I think legislation will eventually catch up to where we are. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Are there any final comments before we proceed?
Mr. Chairman. This is Harcourt Fuller. This is a question for Joe. I think I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway.
Yes, sir.
The coin, as shown, has a black background. I think you know where I'm going with this. It's not going to be black, of course, right? I just want to be clear about that, right? And I guess as a follow-up question, I was wondering why was it not shown in the color in which it would eventually be minted?
There were some policies enacted codified in 2007 about incusing and stuff like that using the color black. And April can stop me at any point. It's some artists interpret that more broadly, like this artist, meaning black means polished field.
Other artists you'll see maybe perhaps the same design and the background just be white. And I think it, I think we're in the process of working out a way that the artist can express their intent without muting their voices. So it's black typically means polished field right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Or accused.
Accused.
Yes.
Which is still polished field though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say black symbolizes that what is accused, but we are aware that some artists apply it slightly more liberally, so we have all agreed internally as the designs move through review to ensure that there's an equity of application in that regard.
Yeah. Any confusion is my negligence, frankly, for not uniformly paying it, taking it for granted all these years. So, you know.
If I may, for the record, the last comment came from Joe Mena, the comment before that, April Stafford. So the record can make sure that we fully document it.
Sorry.
No problem. This indicates, in fact, how interested this committee is about this design. So let us begin our consideration, if you will. I would like to remind members to please try to keep your comments to 5 minutes or less. Additionally, if there are any members who have questions or comments, please hold those, and I promise you that we will get back to them at the end. For the benefit of the court reporter and those calling in, I ask that you state your name when you begin speaking. And let's try as much as possible to keep our comments to 5 minutes or less. Let us begin, Dr. Hawkhorn Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We welcome you to the committee, Ms. Ross. It's always, you know, one of the joys of serving on this committee is learning about great Americans that you might have heard of, but you don't have the details. So I'm so honored to be able to opine on this coin. And I'm going to ask Ms. Ross's forgiveness, because I'm going to do something that I don't think I've done before, which is, well, let me first say I congratulate the artists. These are all great designs. But can we go back to one? I've never seen anything like this on a coin. What is the purpose of a coin? Dean and others have spoken about the tabletop test, right? Is that right? If I'm seeing 10 coins on a table, which one am I going to pick up? In a sea of coins, right? What am I going to look at, right? And if we are trying to educate the American public and the world about these outstanding Americans, we want coins that will make someone say, what is this? When I see the word hope, that means so much to so many people. But just, again, how her image comes through makes me want to look at that coin and Google, or Bing, Dr. Pauli Murray. I think, in my humble opinion, more people would do that than if they saw some of the other designs, because we're going to have other designs of people on coins. I've never seen anything like this. With all due respect to the family, to the stakeholders, to the artists, this is my pick. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll turn now to Dr. Dean Kolowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Dean Kolowski. I have to agree with much of what my colleague, Dr. Fuller, has said. Ms. Ross, I wrote down something that you said in your remarks, that your great aunt wanted to be seen. And when you said that, that did pull me toward choice number two, because you can see her very clearly and very obviously, and that is the choice of the family and the CFA. But as I think about this more and more, the tabletop test, what catches your eye, and it is one, and it is 1A. And actually, I think I prefer 1A. a little bit more. In terms of your great aunt being seen, I think she is seen in both 1 and 1A. And if I'm stating what Joe said correctly here, the background is incused, Hope is then raised next, and then her portrait is at the highest. So maybe it's a little hard for us to see how she's going to be seen here on a coin, and that the image of her portrait will be more prominent than maybe we're getting an impression of here. Number one would be is excellent. What I like about 1A, if we can go to 1A, please, is that the way the O is done, you see a little more of her face, and I think it is genius by the artist, I can use that word, the way you have the complete quote here figured in, hope, a song, and a weary throat. I think what you're getting there is something more than the generic message of hope, which is important, but you're getting an actual quotation, and you're getting it in a stylistically sophisticated and balanced way, the portrait and then the quotation, and then it's all pulled together by the word hope, really brilliantly. The nice thing about number two, which is the family's preference, is that you do have a very specific message there, right? America, be what you proclaim yourself to be. And then if you go back again to 1A, you've got a specific quotation and a larger message. And I like all of the designs that have the Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray, because I think the general public, when they see that, if they have some awareness of the civil rights movement, that's going to conjure up memories and thoughts of Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And people are going to think, well, this is probably somebody who is like that and maybe did some things that were similar to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. So in that sense, 1A, 2, and 2A are all very strong candidates. But this is a great person, and it is not in my capacity to label things great art, but to the extent to which I can, I think 1A and 1 are great art for a great American. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to take the privilege of the chair to give my comments at this point, because I think that my colleagues have raised facts and information that certainly warrant and balance the discussion. Over time, we've had a lot of beautiful designs, there's no question about it. And sometimes we, in fact, have to balance between the beauty and the message. Sometimes designs can be so subtle that it may miss the general public. And for me, it's really important that we balance them well. As much as I do appreciate that design number one is a fantastic design that we have not seen before, one has to ask the question about why the family chose two. When I look at the message that's in two, the question then became to me, somehow or another, the message here was more powerful than the message they felt for number one. As much as number one is a fantastic and a beautiful design, the question becomes, how is that going to resonate with the public? Because this is going to be a circulating coin. That being the case, you want to have the opportunity for it to provide dividends. To what extent will the dividends be realized if the design is too subtle? So in that respect, I'm going to throw my votes along with that of the CFA and the family. Thank you so much. Let me now turn to Robin Salmon.
This is Robin Salmon. Thank you, Dr. Excuse me, Dr. Brown. I'm really torn on this particular coin. As a person who thinks first of art and the more of the unusual ways that a subject can be portrayed, I absolutely am crazy about design 1 and 1A. It is so different, as everyone has said. It reaches out and grabs you. And despite the fact that Reverend Dr. Murray's portrait may be somewhat obscured in these designs, I think because the word hope really reaches out, that she would like that. And if I could alone choose a design for this, I would say 1. However, 2 and 3 are also very fine designs, and I understand all of the reasons why the family and the CFA might prefer this with the addition of the cross necklace. It is straightforward. It does include a lovely portrait of her. It has her quote, which is so powerful, and it looks like a presidential portrait, if you will. 3 is also a very strong portrait. I like the fact that she's sitting in her own surroundings, but all of the important imagery is there, that's been referenced with the scales, her work, her religion, the symbolism that goes along with her life, as well as the inclusion of the inscription of her handwriting. So this is a very tough choice. Very tough choice. And I'm still not exactly sure where I'm going with it. I'm going to have to make up my mind soon. But I appreciate everything that the family wants with this, as well as any other stakeholder who may be involved. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's turn now to Art.
Speaking of art, this is Art Bernstein. And I'm going to take these in reverse order, please. 3 and 3A, I appreciated the same things that Robin appreciated. Seeing Reverend Dr. Murray in her surroundings with all those books scattered around, I think demonstrated the breadth of her role in our society. Design 2 has the quotation that I find to be the strongest, and I prefer that design over 2A because I think it's just a little more simple in the design. But I want to say from the bottom of my heart with regarding designs 1 and 2, when I first saw the designs, I had rejected those two. I just pushed them off to the side. And the beauty of these meetings and hearing from my colleagues today has completely flipped my thinking. And I appreciate what everyone has shared. And I see real value in real beauty in design in designs 1 and 1A. And I'm leaning towards supporting those designs. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's turn now to Mike Moran.
I'm there. I couldn't get the cursor on the microphone. I'm sorry. Thank you, Dr. Brown. This is Mike Moran. First of all, I'm proud that the Reverend Polly Murray chose the Episcopal Church as her vehicle to promote and advance her goals and aspirations. As a lifelong Episcopalian, as well as a senior warden to the Bishop of the Diocese of Lexington, I understand it was not always an easy journey through the Episcopal Church, although it was easier than it would have been through some of the other mainstream Protestant churches. I have listened to the comments made by the committee, and I too am a bit torn over this one. And I'll tell you where I finally come down. First of all, I don't like 1 because I feel the ovals in the O and the P distract from the portrait, and they will distract from the portrait in the coin. I like 1A a lot. But I also like 2. But when I look at what is, these quarters are more than just 25 cents to put in a gum machine. What are we trying to convey? What have we conveyed in the past about the accomplishments of the women that that have been merited and recognized on the backs of these coins? And you can see instantly from 1A, it's Patty Murray and it's hope. And if there's ever anything that this country could use right now, it's hope that tomorrow will be a better day than today. And that will come across on that quarter. And remember, we're dealing with a quarter. You're, as good as the portrait looks on 2, and it's a good portrait, what's it going to look like on a quarter? And I just, yesterday when I was with you all, I bought a set of the 2022 quarters, frosted. And I can tell you that's going to be a frosted mess. You're not going to see the quality and the care and humanity that you see in this sketch. And I think that while we have a duty to portray these images accurately, we also have a duty to the American public as to the message that we want these quarters to convey. And therefore, I'm going to put a lot of emphasis on 1A. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you so much for your thoughtful comments. Let's turn now to Sam Gill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to, well, first of all, Dr. Pauli Murray is just so accomplished and a true intellectual, and it's a privilege to comment on her coin. I'm going to concur with Dr. Brown. I believe that the, not only because the family is interested in number 2 and the CFA is interested in number 2, but I think it is the correct choice with the cross added, because I think this woman deserves a portrait. She deserves to be seen, and she's been a part of recent history, and she worked so hard and contributed so much to the intellectual property of her work, and so many others embraced her, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for instance. I mean, she was just a huge force. And I think she deserves an elegant portrait. And that's, I agree with the family, and that's where I'm siding. Number 2 with cross. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's turn now to Peter.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I have to say, sitting here for the last several minutes listening to all of my colleagues express their views on all of this far more eloquently than I'm sure I can. I have to say I sit here conflicted over which way to go with this. I find the opportunity to portray Pauli Murray here and to represent her on this coin, you know, to be a tremendous moment, you know, and hopefully this representation will bring more recognition to her and her work and all the rest of that. And the question is, you know, how do we convey that in the most powerful way possible? And, you know, I do find number 2 to be a perfectly adequate, accessible, nice design. And I have to say that if number 1A particularly were not an option, that certainly would be a very easy choice. But I am just drawn into the power of 1A, particularly with that portrait. I cannot take my eyes off of it. And it really is a powerful image. I mean, that is absolutely a fantastic, innovative, brilliant design. And the question is, does that convey the message in the same way or in a much more powerful way than number 2? And I certainly respect the family liaison, Ms. Ross's preferences, as well as the CFA. I can see, you know, where they've come from, you know, with this. But again, I find myself just drawn into 1A particularly as just an amazing design, and that I think would convey that message perhaps a bit more powerfully than 2, you know, would. So, you know, again, I feel very conflicted about this because I do understand, you know, Dr. Brown you know, his eloquent expression about that, and particularly with accessibility and the rest, and honoring, you know, the family's choices. So I will make my decision in the next few minutes, and we'll see. So thank you.
We appreciate those sentiments very much. Thank you for sharing. Let's turn now to Dennis Tucker.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. This is Dennis Tucker, and this is a challenge. This is a real challenge, because I'll echo the sentiments of my colleagues here. We have three very strong designs, 2 that start to reach perfection, I would say. 1A is wonderful. It's unique, it's innovative and artistic in ways that we don't always see in circulating coinage. It has art, symbolism, and messaging. As a standalone piece of art and work of coinage, it nears perfection. 2 also has everything that a coin needs. It has the art, it has the symbolism, and the messaging. Very different from 1A, and that's what makes it a challenge. I don't know if it's premature, but I would like to yield my time to Ms. Ross and hear her analysis and her thoughts on 1A versus 2, and see if maybe her comments can guide us a bit.
Dennis, I think you were anticipating what I was going to do, so may I suggest that before we do that, let's hear from Mr. Saunders first. Because Ms. Ross may want to hear his comments before she offers hers.
Okay. Dr. Brown, thank you. John Saunders here, as I've been told to say. I'm going to be different than everybody else. I like the experimentalness of 1 and 1A, particularly 1A being the better of the two, but I would like to see something, a coin that was actually struck kind of along those lines before I jump into the field of fray and recommend something that I'm not sure would come out as well as I think it is the picture comes out. So that kind of leaves me between the 2 and 3 design. And no one else has said anything nice about 3, but it was my favorite. I like both 2 and 3. I like the fact that 3 shows her at work, shows her working at looking at perhaps a law that she was supporting or something of that nature with books and in the background. The other thing that I didn't like about 2 is she's holding a balance scale. And I've used a balance scale many times to weigh coins and other metals. And you can't hold a balance scale and hold it even like that. I mean, that's either it's a fake or it's impossible. And I just didn't like her holding the balance scale. I liked it much better being on the bookshelf. I mean, it shows what she's talking about, which her thought that, you know, equality, balancing things is the right way to go. But I liked it much better on the bookshelf than I did someone holding it. So I'm going to go, I think, unless, you know, all of us are reserving our final judgment until we hear all the comments, but I think I like 3 best, so I'll be the outlier here. I think all of them were good, by the way. I mean, don't get me wrong, but 3 was my favorite.
Thank you so much. Ms. Ross, you've heard comments from members of the committee. We think it would be invaluable for us to, my apologies.
I wanted to add something before we, but also so did Harcourt. This is Dean Kalowski. Go ahead.
May I?
So let me, if we do that, may I suggest the following? Let's hear from Ms. Ross, and then we'll come back to members of the committee, because I suspect other members of the committee may want to comment as well. So let's first hear from Ms. Ross, and then we can take it back to further conversation. Ms. Ross, again, you happen to be the witness to one of the occasions when we have a real and robust conversation about a design. And we're interested in your thoughts, having heard what we have shared today.
Well, the amazing thing is that our family went through the same back and forth. We fell in love with one, but we felt like her face was obscured. And plus the fact, as lay people, we don't have that artisan vision that you all have. It was hard for us to conceptualize the Black being raised in, you know, we don't have the information to be able to visualize what the coin would look like minus the Black. And I understand the Black had to be there for design purposes, for guideline purposes, but that was one of our big concerns. And we just felt like, as a group, we felt like number two spoke to her journey more than the hope of the nation. I think the family will be comfortable with either one of those designs. As I said, it spoke to us initially, but then we wanted to become all inclusive of the aspects of her life. So if you all go with one, I would hope that you would go with the one where you could see more of her face than her peeking through letters. So if that makes it any easier for you, we won't be devastated if you pick one. We did not like three at all. There's a picture that was drawn from, and if, you know, we wanted something more unique than a copy of the picture. So thank you.
Thank you so much. We have a comment from Ethan Graver.
This is Joe Mena. Ms. Ross, it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you. Something everyone in the room is very familiar with, but might just to give a little more background, everyone's opinion about art counts from my perspective. When it comes to coins, we have to think about scale and real estate. So as important as the symbolism on a coin or even the portrait, I'm not editorializing as to which one's better in any way, shape, or form, but design, that one. Two?
1A.
Or one?
1A.
No, two. 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 With the scales. With coins, everything's about real estate in terms of visibility. On a 3-inch congressional gold medal, everything in this design would be eminently visible. But at the scale of a quarter, even sculpted by the best sculptor, it would be very challenging to get a likeness, which is only millimeters in length, to be readable. Additionally, the seahorse and the scales will be difficult to read at this scale. So the symbolism and that helps share the story, and the portrait itself, while acceptable by our coining standards, and we never try to stifle any particular artist's vision, will not be as readable as the portrait on the first two designs, despite the intersection of the letters, intersection with the lettering. That's just a technical observation about scale. So thank you for your time.
This is Lawrence Brown, and unless any members of the committee is going to offer...
Dr. Brown, this is Jennifer Warren. Mike Moran has his hand raised. You can't see that because of the screen.
Apology. So I'm going to ask the committee members that unless you're going to offer something that's going to be different than what one has already articulated, and given the time that we have in front of us, I just want to make sure that we balance that so that... I'm going to recognize Mike since he's here, and I'm going to recognize anyone else, but remember that we are beyond our time and deservedly so. And so let me make sure that we are clear. I'm not saying that we should minimize the importance of what we're doing, but I do also recognize we want to maintain quorum. Mike?
Dr. Brown, thank you. This is Mike Moran. In view of our sponsor's comments about 1 versus 1A, let's not split our votes between 1 and 1A. If you're going to vote for the image of hope, vote for 1A. It's clearly the better one, so we don't have to make any motions at the end. If we have a split between the two, it's a wasted vote on 1.
Dean?
Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Dean?
Thank you.
This is Dean Kotlowski, and Ms. Ross, thank you so much for your open-mindedness and your encouragement and your humility. Yes, everybody, we all have opinions on art, but it's good to hear, what you said. I want to add something to the comments about 1A that I think also make it very powerful. If you look at the horizon line, you do see hope, and then below that you see the Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray, and then below that you see E Pluribus Unum. So there is yet another, there's a parallel message here that I think is also very powerful, that makes this particularly powerful point.
Thank you so much. Any other members that feel the need to, not hearing or seeing any? I'm going to ask the mic and Joe, do you have anything else you want to share with the committee regarding the design?
I have
nothing. No, sir.
Thank you. Hearing none, the committee will now score the reverse candidate design for the 2024 American Women Quarters honoring the Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray. Each of you should have in front of you the score sheets. If you're a mic, you will send yours in electronically. When we have done, please give them to Greg. We'll tally them. Let's take 10 minutes recess.
I'm going to set your way.
Thank you.
Also, Robin, please send them in. This is Jennifer, and we're going to go in recess.
Thank you, sir. We're in recess.
And if you guys could, like, not get up while he's still talking, because it interferes with the microphones and for them to hear. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but everybody was getting up, and it was rustling a lot.
Is that all right?